Hey everyone, and welcome to My Damn Services. My Damn Services, full service production and consulting company that uses artificial intelligence to help create and manage synthetic media. My name is Frank DiCarlo, and Henrik and I are welcoming Alex Serdug. Alex, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So glad you made time to found time to join us today. And I want to say that I think your work at ReSpeecher and your team is just amazing, just terrific. Alex and his team are Grammy Award winners for synthetic voice, work done in many different things. One of the most well-known is the work done in The Mandalorian from the Star Wars franchise, of course. I believe Luke Skywalker's voice was synthesized for a younger case. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Congratulations on the Emmy. And aside from projects like that, you and your team at ReSpeecher are also contributing synthetic voice or voice cloning to causes like speech disabilities. So what we all knew as voice boxes, classic example being, of course, Stephen Hawking, is becoming a thing of the past, and you're restoring people's ability to speak without that robotic sound. And I hope we can see some of that today. It's incredible work. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Before we get started, I did want to mention Henrik DeGuerre, co-founder of My Damn Services. You just finished and published a brand new book, Synthetic Media, The Next Reality.
Thank you.
And if I may, in the book, you do an incredible job of sharing conversations and experiences of how companies are struggling with content creation and how they're now able to produce content at a much larger scale. And all of that, or much of that, having to do, of course, with the uses of synthetic media. So congratulations on that, Henrik. So it's an amazing book. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I interviewed Alex for that project as well, among many other people in the synthetic media field.
So again, I'd like to welcome everyone to My Damn Services' first webinar in this synthetic media series. In this series, Henrik and I will be inviting others to speak on relevant topics and latest AI advancements that allow many of us the beneficial advantages and strategies with, of course, the use of synthetic media. We'll update you on what Alex and his team are doing at ReSpeecher, talk about other positive use cases of synthetic media, and we're going to leave time at the end for some Q&A. It's our intention in this series to explore just how much of artificial intelligence is positively influencing synthetic media and accelerating creative processes with more possibilities and the ability to scale. So it's exciting stuff. So let's get started, gentlemen. Henrik, do you want to kick us off? And let's start asking Alex some questions. I'm really intrigued with what he's got to offer.
For sure. Alex, thanks again for taking the time today for being on this webinar. But today we want to talk about positive use cases and understand also the ethical challenges around that, because a lot of fear and ethics are in question around that. So my first question is around, how do you differentiate between both synthetic media and deep fakes, which has a deep fake, of course, has a negative connotation, and synthetic media is slightly different for obvious reasons. Help us understand that in your perspective.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, those terms, they usually mean similar stuff. But the thing is, deepfake term, it originated from just a username of a Reddit user who did some bad things with the technology. So they were focused on making some pornographic face swaps using celebrities and stuff. And this term is very widespread, and it obviously has a very negative connotation. Though technology itself, it's neutral, it's neither good or bad. And synthetic media would be right way to describe and to name those technologies, because that's exactly what those technologies are doing. They synthesize media.
Thanks, Alex. To the next question, I guess, is unless Frank, you have any follow-up, or you good? Should we go to the next question?
I think we'll probably get into more as to the stereotype of the concentrating a lot on deepfakes being negative. And what I'm realizing as I'm getting more and more exposure to professionals like Alex and other synthetic media solutions is that there's so many benefits and so many advantages to business and to all of us and how it's going to be used in the future. So I think it's getting a bad rap right on the from the offset. But through just some of the work that we're going to see today and what Alex has been doing and other things that we're going to be doing in this series, we're going to get a much better understanding of how beneficial these new solutions are in this technology.
Absolutely. I would add here that we used to be threatened and we used to be afraid of something we don't understand.
Well. There you go.
And the thing is, when we don't understand technology well, we see only bad applications of those technologies. And that's something we should all do in order to bring more awareness about the technologies, about those technologies to be used for bad and for good purposes. And therefore, we would have more reasonable understanding on what's going on exactly.
Exactly. And this is what part of this webinar series is about, is emphasizing on the positive aspects, which we're going to get to in a minute. So my next question is around the moral and ethical use of synthetic media. Do you feel that there are principles to be exercised when creating synthetic media and creating technology like yours? And what is your company doing to protect the technology and product from being used or misused for that matter? Can you help us understand that?
Yeah, I mean, basically what we need to do with our technology, with the technology of voice cloning, is to make sure that intellectual property rights, that rights of private life, rights of likeness are not violated using our technology. And the technology itself should be protected from being used in malicious purposes by bad actors. So since we started ResPeacher in the very beginning of 2018, so that would be more than 4 years ago, we put together a quite strict ethics policy. And this ethics policy, it starts with having a permission from our client, from a voice owner, to let us replicate their voice. And the thing is, if permission is in place, that means that the person whose voice is being cloned or people who own rights for a voice are aware about the project and they approve the project itself. But that's just one part of the story. Another part would be making sure that, as we said, synthetic media could be used for bad purposes, for making someone say something they never did, or making someone do something they never did. And for that, we should understand that the technologies, they have tendency to commoditize, and that means that they would inevitably fall in hands of bad actors. And we should just treat information differently. We should just understand that something we see or something we hear could be manipulated. And that's not a new concept for us as humanity. It even starts with rumors. So rumors are the very first deep fakes, right? So when someone just told someone else that someone else said something they never did, that would be a very first deep fake without the technology. So that would be just rumor. And the same principle applies here. We just should treat information in the way where we are reasonably skeptical about the information, that we check our sources, that we check where the information comes from. But also there are some techniques that can help us in this process. So ResPeacher, for example, does work on developing a watermark for audio. It's been a challenging task because we need to put a watermark in quite a short chunk of audio. So we can produce like 3 seconds of speech and we should be able to squeeze some kind of watermark there. And that's a technical challenge. We are going through it, and hopefully this year we would introduce a powerful watermark. The watermark is always a balance between being able to not remove it easily, so it's not easily removable, and not be noticeable for listeners, so it wouldn't disrupt something we should hear. Another watermark in general, it protects a particular technology from being misused or being able to detect that something was created using this technology. So you can apply watermark and then easily tell ResPeacher generated content from any other content, but it wouldn't protect general society from synthesized content in general. And the thing is, there are some other approaches. And we also launched a very interesting initiative with one of our corporate partners, is that consists in developing a deepfake detector where Respeecher would run this Kaggle competition. That's a competition of greatest minds all over the world where they compete on solving a task. And task we would put in front of them would be develop a detector that would be able to tell synthesized speech from original speech. And Respeecher would obviously provide the best in the class voice cloning samples for this competition, as well as we are going to do is this the outcome of this competition.
You're getting a stall, Henrik?
They would be able. Sorry?
I'm sorry, Alex. You your internet came in and out on that last sentence or two.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Not at all.
So the thing is, this the outcome of this competition should be outsourced, and it should be something that would be easily accessible for big gatekeepers and small gatekeepers, where they would be just be able to incorporate this stuff in the media they showcase to general public. And Facebook, YouTube, they would be able to use algorithms to just tell synthesized content from original content. And that would be something meaningful. We do spend quite a lot of time on protecting our technology, but that's just one part of the equation. Also, we spend a lot of time by just telling people, participating in different events, being part of professional communities on building right frameworks, on applying the technology to different industries.
That's a longer pause.
It is. I'm sure he'll come back in a second.
It's funny, not funny, but what occurred to me almost immediately when deep fakes and this caution over people being very skeptical is, you know, what's going to be close on the heels is just this idea of detection and being able to measure what exactly is authentic and what isn't. So I don't think there's a great deal of fear in that regard, because we're going to know eventually through other means that we experience now with images and videos and whatnot. Same thing's going to happen with synthetic medias that are generated. You blanked out again a little bit, Alex. That's what we were just talking about. There's got to be some checks and balances that you're already talking about that's going to be taking place with all this new technology.
Yeah, of course. And there would be an armor race between, say, detectors and synthesizers. So they would compete with each other, and that would happen inevitably. But the thing is, I mean, let's think about Photoshop. When Photoshop appeared, we all thought that Photoshop would be used for mostly bad purposes, that most of the images on the internet would be manipulated, and most of the images that would be done with Photoshop would be porn. And it turned out it's not true. When internet appeared, we were afraid that it would be used only for bad things or nice.
It's great points, because I remember that. As he was saying, yeah. With any introduction to something new, the fear of not knowing and the change immediately comes negatives, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's part of the innovation cycle, which inevitably happens. The nefarious uses come out first, and then it helps the adoption of it, because it makes people more aware of it, and unfortunately in the negative sense, just like deepfake porn, to your point. And then eventually people realize, they see it and they go, or they hear about it in the media, right? Which we still are, right? Whether it's a political figure or a celebrity or whatever that happens to be. And then they learn about it. It's like, wait, I could use this for this other positive use, for entertainment, for this, to make people laugh, like some people we know are doing in all positive use cases. And then now there's new business cases that we'll talk about in a minute. So I appreciate you talking about the disclosure and consent, getting consent from the people that are using voice, right? That's really important. So using consent from the people who are either getting their voice synthesized, or disclosure to the audience, right? That saying, you know, hey, this has been synthesized. If it's important for them to know that, right? In entertainment, maybe less so, except in the credits, of course. But realistically speaking, it's important to have that sense of trust of like, oh, this has been synthesized. Okay, I understand. Or, oh, my voice has been cloned. And now let's assume I can approve of the use of it, right? I think the watermarks will help as well. I've spoken to a number of companies, which we all know of, one being C2PA and the initiative behind that. Is there other groups aside from C2PA? And then the other group that I'm thinking of is Synthetic Futures that has a lot of conversations around that. Is there other groups in mind that you'd like to share with the community around who are useful to follow if you're interested in synthetic media?
Yeah, we are part of both of these groups. Also, I would mention Open Voice Network. That would be a Linux Foundation group, and they have several streams for synthesized media in general, which are very, very cool. We also take part in some professional communities like Entertainment Globalization Association or Digital Entertainment Group. And it's more designed for bringing together media companies and helping building frameworks around adopting modern technologies, including synthetic media technologies in their workflows, in the building like best practices of adopting such types of technologies.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate seeing companies like yourself disclosing the ethical guidelines and constraints that you're putting on simple to use tools that are low code or no code related. So you're removing the technological barrier of using these for creative purposes or accessibility purposes or other things that we're going to talk about in a minute. But let's get to that next question, unless Frank, you have some other questions around that.
Actually, it was a shame that Alex got cut off when he was giving the examples of how, you know, most new advancements start out in fear because of change. You know, you mentioned Photoshop, you started to talk about the internet. Did you have some other examples you were going to say, Alex?
I mean, the list is endless. We can also talk about printing press. I mean, that's about how we treat information. So our grandparents and parents, they used to believe in everything that would be printed using printing press. And we are not, just because we treat information differently. And the same adoption curve should happen with synthetic media. It just need to happen faster because things develop way faster than in previous century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The same happened with the evolution of video, every format of video, right? Same thing happened there. That's happening with synthetic media. It's just moving images. Well, we know what they were going to be used for eventually, whether it's Photoshop or something else. But that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Shall we go to the next question?
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about how the marketing and making of synthetic media accessible to everybody. You know, the democratization, as some people are calling it. Democratization is the new term of making those things usable by anyone without that technological barrier for creative purposes or any use, right? And can you go into detail about how your application and technologies are being used for voice cloning?
Yeah, I mean, we started to do some steps towards democratization of our technology just recently, like a year ago or so. And there are a few reasons we did not do that before. The first one, that we were focused on building the best possible quality of synthesized audio. And that's a heavy task. And it also requires quite a lot of resources to be put in a particular project. And the technology itself became quite heavy. But our goal was to build the sound that would go through PK sound engineers in Hollywood studios and then optimize whatever we can optimize in order to make it accessible for smaller creators. So we are now on that path of democratizing the technology. After we gained some knowledge about what would be industry standards, how our stuff should be delivered to creatives, but also after we were able to build some principles and understand how we can and should protect our technology from misuse from bigger audience that might have access to the products Respeecher would be building on opposite to services we were providing for quite a while. So just recently we introduced a tool, we call it Voice Marketplace, that gains more and more attention from sound professionals, from small creators, and also from voice actors. And this thing, it allows anyone to speak in a voice we have in a library. So we have a library of 60 voices, and those are not just humans. We also have dogs, cats, some other animal sounds. We are going to increase this library for creative purposes. But the thing is, we always wanted our technology to be available not for just big studios that have Hollywood budgets, but also for small creatives, because that's where we see the world develops. So now any creator can get their film on Netflix. And that's great, because people start to compete with ideas, with the way how they think about stuff, with the way how they develop the stuff, not with budgets. And we want to support this trend. And now when you're a small creator and you don't have budget to hire 20 voice actors to voice over a piece of animation you're doing in your basement or a video game, you can just hire one good voice actor and use our voice marketplace to enable this voice actor to cover all the characters you have in your piece. Sound professionals use it for covering some stuff that requires quite a lot of their attention when they just need to voice some random characters in the movie. Someone just crossing the street and needs to say hello, and you would call the guy who would come to the studio and say hello. Now, being a sound professional, you can just say it yourself and convert into the timbre that would resonate with this particular character best. Or you can do dog barking. It's really hard to make dog bark in your movie because you would need to lip sync the stuff. You would need to find particular assets of a dog of particular breed to bark. And now you can just use our voice marketplace, bark there like a human, and hear an output, a very natural dog barking. That's really cool. And being a voice actor, you now can be hired not just because of your vocal timbre, but mostly because of your abilities to perform something that differentiates voice actors from other people. They can perform in the very good way. And the thing is, you can cover different characters, you can speak in the voice of different gender, of different age, and that means the distribution over voice actors hopefully would be more fair in the very near future.
That's amazing.
That is incredible.
I think we should share some clips just so to give more perspective. And if you don't mind giving some context of what they're going to see, what the audience is going to see of those clips, feel free to share. Frank, if you can make that available for him.
Yeah, stop share.
Yeah.
The thing is, I didn't want to play very many demos here.
Of course.
You can check many demos on our YouTube channel and on our website, but I want to share some of the very recent works we did with Ella Black, the singer, and it showcased the technology from few new angles. So we were able to make our technology seen just recently, and also we were able to make our technology to do cross-lingual voice conversion. That means that someone who speaks different language can speak in your voice, in your vocal timbre, and you would sound very natural because all the performance as well as language would be taken from a source speaker. And we teamed up with Ella Black and Metaphysics, who did visuals. So they are one of the best companies that do synthetic visuals to make this piece. And the piece itself, it's dedicated for doing a tribute to Avicii, a close friend of Ella and a singer many of us like. It will contain three different languages, and two of them were performed by other singers, not Ella, but conversions were made to make it sound exactly like Ella and his timbre.
All right, hold on. I just want to make sure I understand this. So what you're saying is that the singer was, you've taken his voice and you've had other vocalists in other languages sing the part, but then you clone it to, in this case, it's LL?
Correct.
So we're going to see different languages being sung by LL, but he didn't necessarily sing those. You just voice cloned over another vocalist.
Correct.
Got it.
And you would be able to compare the voice because the very last part was original in English.
Outstanding.
穿过黑暗的道路，却被我心动指引，我见不到旅程的尽头。
So that would be Chinese, Mandarin. Then another part would be in Spanish.
Trato de llevar el peso del mundo hoy. Solo tengo tus manos. Viajaré por todo el mundo, lo sé. Sin ningún plan, mi boy.
And somewhere here we would hear him switching to original English.
Está perdido. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost.
That's a very exciting piece for us because, I mean, Avicii music, it inspired millions and Ello was a very close friend to Avicii, and this tribute, it's amazing. They just wanted to make it sound all over the world in all languages, and we talk about how accessible pieces of IP like Ello's voice, Avicii music could be to people that speak different languages and live in different cultures. We do a very similar project right now. Big part of Free Speech are Ukrainians, and we are originally from Ukraine, and I'm now in Ukraine. And we have this project where we enable famous people to speak Ukrainian and direct their message to our nation, to 44 million of Ukrainians, saying words of encouragement, support, as well as encouraging their international audience to help Ukraine, to donate to Ukraine, to stand with us. That's very powerful because there is no other way. Being Ukrainian, you can hear an original voice of May Musk, for example, we did recently when she speaks perfect Ukrainian. And that's also very meaningful for Ukrainians because our language, Ukrainian, has been a target for Russian filthy attacks for centuries, actually. So it's something they were trying to destroy for quite a while and keep doing that.
You said it. That's incredibly powerful.
It is. Yeah. It's breaking down barriers. And it, even if we don't speak a said language, you can convert it, which is very, very powerful. And I think in a few minutes, we'll talk about what's even more amazing in the accessibility sense. I think that's really important to share because the singing community is going to be like blown away. And what they have to realize is this is only a new like superpower essentially for them. It's not a threat to their own singing abilities, right? It's that they can reach more audiences that so now they can understand their words in other words, in other languages. It's not a, I'm gonna take away jobs or anything like that. And neither are you, of course, with this technology. It's gonna expand the possibilities so of creativity and sharing it more widely. I think once people will have that understanding, the creativity is going to explode in a good way. If we can talk about the last question that we have for you until we, and then we'll take some audience questions. Frank, if you don't mind sharing that. So we were looking into the positive use cases, and you published a recent case study around voice cloning in healthcare specifically. How is voice cloning applicable and helpful in healthcare? And what led you to explore this direction?
Yeah, I mean, we should be clear about there are just two ways of synthesizing speech. So one way would be doing text to speech, and something where speecher is would be speech to speech. And the difference is in input. So with speecher, we can convert someone speaking into a different voice. The thing is, we always wanted to apply our technology for people that suffer from medical conditions that cause impaired speech. So they can speak, but their speech is very distorted. So they have problems in communication. But our technology for many years was not ready to get there. It was not ready to do real-time voice conversion. It made a lot of mistakes. It was not robust enough, so it wasn't working properly for bad recording conditions, and we cannot put a patient in a recording booth. But recent developments finally enabled us to go deeper in that field. And we just started doing something in healthcare. The idea there that we can help patients who have impaired speech, very, very different types of impaired speech, but initially we were focused on laryngectomy patients, TAP patients, and we can change the way how they speak in making it sound better. So you should be seeing my screen now. I would just play a few samples from the website. So I'll play electrolarynx speech just how it sounds usually.
When I first wrote his name, I said, just as you are going to say, but I thought he was a boy.
So you can only imagine how hard for a person who has this type of speaking abilities to communicate in general. And when we just apply our technology boldly to those type of input, what we have in the output.
When I first heard his name, I said, just as you are going to say, but I thought he was a boy.
So it's way more intelligible. It's very promising. And the same stuff applicable for TEP speech. That's another medical condition.
Laryngectomy, you can actually, the inhalation is a lot louder. It's our pulmonary function.
So this direction of healthcare, it excites our team very much because the piece of technology we have developed and that's been massively used for mostly entertainment purposes for media creation could significantly change lives of millions of people who suffer from different types of diseases and not able to communicate properly, to talk to their doctor, to talk to their family member. And that's something extremely meaningful. We invest a lot in this direction, and hopefully in the next few months we would have first integrations. We now go through processes of quite complicated trials with real patients, with several universities, to frame the product, how the technology would be used in fields, and then we would start applying it so people would be able to start using it right away.
Clearly, in this case, is the human. What's amazing is the humanizing of this, right? It's humanizing the people's voices into what they should normally sound like, right? And they get to pick their voice, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Current setup, they can pick the voice from the library that Respeecher provides. But in an ideal case scenario, if we have recordings of someone's voice before the disease, they can speak in the voice they had in the past.
So you can clone their original voice before they lost it, or their ability to speak as they did in the past. How much audio do you actually need to do that nowadays?
We feel very comfortable if you have like 30, 40 minutes of speech, but in plenty of projects we have delivered, we had just 5 minutes or even less of speech. So it's just amount of resources and quality of this data we have to work with. So for example, one of the big pieces we did was Vince Lombardi in the Super Bowl opening in 2021. And for that piece, we had just a couple of minutes of good, clean Vince Lombardi recordings, and other data was really bad for our model, but it still turned out to be working well.
Incredible. Halftime, is that correct? For that, and that video is still available on YouTube, from my understanding.
Yeah, it was posted by NFL, by Digital Domain, 72 and Sunny. It was massive. It got like 2.1 billion views, and I guess it's recently also gotten an Clio Award in advertising.
So you'll be able to add more trophies in the background there very soon.
Yeah, I mean, if Free Speecher would be eligible for all those awards we did in Hollywood movies, we wouldn't have place to store them. But the way how Hollywood companies credit technology companies is a bit different, so it's hard to get to the stage where you're eligible. So we have just a few so far, but it's gonna change.
It's great.
To humanize things, to do speech to speech, this is groundbreaking in my opinion, and I think a lot of people who are going to see this will see this as groundbreaking and really beneficial to people. So I'm glad that you were able to give this glimpse into this perspective of voice to speech to speech technology, just to clarify what that is and help understand what the ethics and quelling the fear and understanding what the power of these tools can do. So we appreciate that. But we do have some audience questions, Frank.
Yeah, for others that haven't entered them yet, you can click the Q&A. Before we get those, I just have another question. And I have, I could ask Alex questions for the next hour or so. I'm sure Henrik could as well. What's next for ReSpeecher? Do you have projects in mind, and do you mind disclosing what obviously based on what you've been doing in the past, there's got to be more that's mind-blowing?
Yeah, I mean, we keep delivering those white glove services to studios, and we have like 7 projects in works right now, and some of them are like the biggest TV shows of this year, one big AAA game, some documentaries, really cool projects. We are not able to tell about them because those are rules of the media industry, but after release, you would know. We keep pushing our technology to the direction of making it more usable, faster, require less data, less resources. And we have quite good success in this direction, but there is still quite a way to go. One of the exciting directions we have right now is making a real-time system good and robust enough to be to start being applicable for real-time use cases. So in amusement park, you would be able to communicate with the character, with a Shrek, for example. In a call center, you can call support and you can hear a response in the voice you like. We start doing some projects on a very big scale when there is a very high demand voice, and this voice needs to be presented in a lot of media. So, for example, you would want to listen to all the audiobooks you used to listen to narrated by, say, Scarlett Johansson, and she cannot just go to studio and record that amount of data. But many voice actors can do that for her if she gives her permission, and there is a right deal between publisher and Scarlett Johansson. We want to develop this healthcare direction to the extent where it would start being massively used later this year. And there are all chances we'll get there. And also we have some very cool derivative products from our technology. One of them would be super resolution, audio super resolution neural net that would enable to upsample audio. And that's very applicable for archival content, for historical content, because, I mean, that's very meaningful for me personally, because I don't think it's fair that history in terms of how it was recorded and how it looks visually cannot compete with modern media. It's just black and white. It's crappy in terms of quality of recordings, and modern youth do not pay as much attention to history as I think we should pay to history. And with technology, we can make history brighter. We can make it more entertaining. We can bring more attention to history, and we should learn from history. And that's something my country goes through. We should have learned from our history more and more. And also, yeah, the voice marketplace is a big thing for us. We want to democratize it even more. We are going to introduce different ways of how creators can use voice marketplace. we would give them more creative tools so they would be able to mix voices, they would be able to have more controls over voices, not just pitch correction, but also maybe adding some accents or changing some types of performance. So that was something we call high-level voice conversion. That's something that is deeply in R&D, but it's very promising direction for developing the technology to the extent where we would be able to call it Photoshop for voice.
Photoshop for voice, I like that. So yeah, I think there were some other questions, Frank.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to respect everybody's time. Somebody's asking, are there any other ways that celebrities are using voices, whether that be to spread the good word and what's going on with other countries, specifically Ukraine? Are there ways that they're doing it in a beneficial manner and being able to utilize, like you said, anybody's voice that you have enough material to glean from?
Yeah. I mean, let's think about example of dubbed and localized content. So that's something new for the US, right? You guys were used to produce a lot of content, and most of the content that was consumed in the US has been produced in the US. And now the situation is being changed. So a lot of content is being produced abroad, and you'd need to localize it, to dub it. And the thing is, when you dub something, you would need to do casting again. You would need to hire proper voice actors for doing particular roles. You would need to go through complicated process of making this all voiceover happens. And something where we start to apply our technology to would be dubbing. So original content could be dubbed using local actors with original voices, those voices that were casted by producer in Korea who brought their film to the US market originally. And that would bring way more control to content creators because they would be sure that the casting they did in terms of voice would be maintained over the whole world. And that's quite important. So it's not obligatory related to celebrities, but it's something that lets content producers have more control over the quality of their content in international understanding of the content.
So many possibilities. And as I said before, I love, and I'm sure Henrik will agree with me, the work you and everybody at ReSpeecher is doing is just incredible. We can't thank you enough for finding some time today with us, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You can contact Alex and his team at ReSpeecher. And if you'd like to stay connected with My Damn Services, I'm going to put some information in the chat. My Damn Services, of course, is a full service production and consulting company that uses artificial intelligence to help create and manage synthetic media. Get in touch with us. We'd be happy to help you in transforming your business with all the latest technologies, some of which you saw today with Alex. So again, thanks for kicking us off on our webinar series, Alex. And we look forward to seeing more work from ReSpeecher.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.